so, and it will help you to learn better. So, enough said about that. What we did yesterday, well, what did you learn yesterday? What? Anything? That's a long time ago, wasn't it? What was that? Yes, prayer. In other words, praying to yes. The idea is that it's not just a matter of yes, no, or wait a while. Really, the objective is to be able to pray so that God can say yes, and so that we really get in touch with what God is doing. And we remember, one of the particular things has to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do in this process? He intercedes. And who does he intercede with? Yeah, between us and God. Where's the emphasis, God or us? That's the key difference in the way we generally tend to think of the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer. And I'm not sure how this happened, but somehow we, even though we know that in every other passage of Scripture, the Holy Spirit is teaching us, he's not informing the Father, he's informing us, somehow we reverse the role, okay? And we have the Holy Spirit being the high priest instead of Christ being the high priest. The high priest is the one who intercedes on behalf of men with God. Christ is the high priest. He is interceding. He is at the right hand of the Father in his interceding there for us. He's communicating with the Father. It's the Holy Spirit who has the role of the prophet, who is speaking on behalf of God to people. Okay? So the Holy Spirit's work in prayer is to help us to understand the will of God. Okay? So if we understand that, what we really were doing yesterday was trying to remove some roadblocks in how we think about prayer. What we're going to try to do today is to look under the hood, okay? We've got the roadblocks out of the way, but if you got a nice clear road and you've got a nice car, but you've got no engine, what happens? Yeah, you just sit there looking at the nice clear road, okay? So what we want to do is make sure we got something under the hood. We're looking at the process by which this takes place, okay? So that's the idea of what we're looking at. And so engage yourself a little bit. Now, the sheets that you have are printed front and back. Is there any way we might be able to get some blank paper? Or does everybody have something to write on? Who could use some paper, something to write on? Okay. And the reason I say that is because some of what I'm going to show you here may be a little difficult to remember. And there's nothing quite like, I used to tell my students in Australia, the power of graphite is amazing. Okay, what I mean by that, okay? That there's something about engaging with your hand while you're listening and taking a piece of, ink will work as well as graphite, but you know what I mean? You take something what we're going to look at here tonight or this afternoon, if you can kind of do your own little diagram, it will mean more to you, okay? You'll connect with it better than if I just handed you this cool diagram, okay? So, let everybody get a hold of that. Okay, so we've been talking about this matter of prayer and the will of God. Let's see what happens here. Okay. When we talk about praying, there are some really foundational guidelines for what we might call successful prayer, okay, or having our prayers really answered in the affirmative, okay? You can call them rules for prayer if you want to. That kind of turns most people off, but whatever, these are principles, guidelines that are essential if our prayer is going to be effective, okay? First one we just put up there, the name of Christ. And you might want to put it, you don't have to draw the world there if you don't want to. That's a little tricky. But you might want to put the name of Christ and use about a half a sheet. Fold your paper if you got or you can use, two sides. Okay, whatever. Because we're going to do two diagrams here. Okay, so you got the name of Christ. In other words, what are we talking about? Where to pray what? In Jesus' name, okay? You know, by the way, sometimes you hear things that kind of trouble you a little bit. A lot of times I hear people pray and address their prayer to Jesus, okay? Now, don't misunderstand, okay? It doesn't mean that God won't hear them, okay? But you don't find that anywhere in the Bible, okay? You will not find prayers addressed to Jesus in the Bible, okay? Prayer is always addressed to the Father in Scripture, and most clearly, obviously, in the New Testament, okay? And that's exactly what Christ told us to pray the Father. The model prayer that we read yesterday, usually known as the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father. Okay, so we address our prayer to the Father, but we pray in the name of Jesus, or in the name of Christ. Okay? And if you want a scripture reference for that, let me make sure. I'll have trouble with this one for some reason. I don't know why. But John 14:6. Okay? And we could look at many others. But so that's one basic principle. Now, what does that mean? Is the name of Jesus kind of like a mantra? You know, some sort of magic? You know, if you just say it, Jesus, poof, you know, okay? Now, there's a lot of people who really seem to have that in their head, okay? Now, I'm not trying to be hypercritical, but we tend to bring a lot of goofy things with us to the scripture, and that's one of them, okay? That's not the concept. You'll find this idea of praying in connection with the name of God, not just in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. And the idea behind this, when you say someone has made a name for themselves, what do you mean? What was that? They're known for that. We would call that their reputation. That's what this is talking about. Okay? Now, it means, really, it's a two-edged sword. First of all, it means the only reason we can come to God is because of Jesus' reputation with God. We come in His merit. We are accepted in the Beloved. We could not approach God if it were not for the merit of Jesus Christ. If it were not for the fact that He has this unlimited favor with the Father. Okay? There is another side to that. That's the heavenly side. There is an earthly side. We're talking about heaven and earth here, right? The earthly side of this is that the name of Christ is talking about His we just said it a minute ago. Reputation. Okay. With me? Okay. That's the engine trying to start. Okay. All right. His reputation. Okay. I inherited some things from my professors. So if I do something weird, it's not my fault. It's their fault. Okay. Anyway. It's my fault. But so what we're talking about here is the reputation of Christ. In other words, we ask things from God so that Christ's reputation will be exalted, will be furthered, will be magnified. Because the ultimate purpose of God in everything is the glory of God in Christ Jesus. It's all about Him. And so, you want to motivate God? Let me tell you what motivates the Father, the Son. That's what really, you know, gets Him moving. I'm using anthropomorphism. Bear with me, okay? But you understand what I'm saying? I'm speaking in anthropomorphic terms, but what is the heartbeat of the Father is the Son. The Father loves the Son. And He loves to do things for His Son. And He wants His Son to be exalted. That at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee should bow. This is what gets God excited. Okay? All right? This is what gets the Father excited. So we pray in the name of Christ. And what that means is we're asking God to do this so that Jesus' reputation will be exalted. So that His name will be known among the nations. See? Okay. So, next thing. Maybe. Yeah, there it is. Down at the bottom. We are to pray in faith. Remember what James said about faith and prayer? Anybody remember that? And he said something about that, didn't he? Remember when he talked about, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith. If you don't ask in faith, what do you get? Yeah. And he said, don't expect anything. Okay? Now, we could spend a lot of time here. We can't. But the point is that this matter of faith, and really, again, faith is a two-edged sword. One, the Greek word for faith has two meanings, and you can only tell by the context which one it is. One is faith in the sense of belief or trust. Okay? A little different, by the way, from what is generally meant by faith in our world today. Okay? We don't have time to get into that. But it's the idea of faith, trust, confidence. Okay? The other side of it is what we call faithfulness. Many times when you see the word faithful in Scripture, it's the same word that's translated, exactly the same word that's translated faith. And so the idea here is that you are committed to the answer. Okay? In other words, let's think about the wisdom thing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. And then it says, but he that doubts, okay, he says that he refers to him as a double-minded person. What's the connection there? He's not a faithful person. In other words, you know, I'd really like to know God's will about this, and then I'll decide if I'll do it. Is that the way it works? Well, why should, if it's sort of up in the air whether you're going to do it or not, why should God sort of hang you by your own rope and tell you what you ought to do? In other words, what God expects of us, if we really trust him, is that we ask God to give us wisdom, to give us discernment, to help us to know what we ought to do, and we are committed to doing it before we know what it is. See the difference? That's faithfulness. That's commitment, which is really another word for faithfulness, okay? So, that's what we're talking about here when we talk about faith. So it's the confidence side and a commitment to the answer, whatever it may be, based on our confidence in the character of God. Okay. So, you got the principle of faith. That's James chapter 1. A lot of other passages, obviously. Okay, we are to pray in the Spirit. We looked at one of those yesterday in 1 Corinthians, but there's another one. I'd like for you to turn there. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And maybe somebody can read that for us. I love these two screens. I don't have to worry about it. I see some of you are having to go, you know, as I move around, so I'll try not to block your path too much. My reason for not getting up here is that if I do, to see what I'm doing, I'm going to have to do this, and I really don't want to do it. Okay. Okay. So, somebody got it? Go ahead. Fire away.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all things.
Now, by the way, this is a missionary prayer request. Okay? So we're connecting with missions here. But notice he says we're to pray in the Spirit. We're to pray always. It's interesting. He also says, with what? You had it.
With all perseverance and supplication.
Perseverance and supplication. And especially for our benefit, notice that word perseverance. What does perseverance mean? Stick to it. You keep on. You stay at it. Now, that's a heads up. Because the process that we're going to be looking at here today is not easy. I'm not going to give you any sort of slick sell here that here is the fix-it-all formula. If you just do this, presto, change-o, everything will go wonderful. All your prayers will be answered in the affirmative, all you got to do is follow this cool little formula. Okay, this is not a formula. It's a process, and it is hard. It can be very painful. Okay, now, I'm not giving you a real good sell job, but I'm telling you the truth. The sell job is, it is worth every little pain you may experience. It is more than worth it. Because God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Okay? It's worth it, but it is not easy. It's kind of like, you know, we live in a world, everybody wants to, you know, got diet programs. You got this quick weight loss program, you know. And how well does that work? Everybody's going, not very well. You might get some temporary results, but guess what? Sooner or later, right, you know, you're right back where you were, okay? And our people want to, you know, everyone wants everything instant, quick, easy, blah, blah, blah. This is not instant, quick, or easy. It takes time. You're going to have to stay with it. And as you begin this process, the first response you're going to tend to have is, this is too hard. It takes too long. It does not. It is hard. It can be very long. but it is not too hard or too long. It's just hard enough and just long enough. Okay? So you stay with that, and it will be worth it. Okay? But you got to be prepared to stay with it. Persevere it. The Bible talks about that constantly. Okay. All right. So we're to pray in the Spirit. And we've talked a little bit about what that means and the role of the Spirit. Okay? We are also, we saw yesterday from 1 Corinthians 14:15, I think is the verse that I gave you. Yep. 14:15. Is that we are to pray with the understanding, but we're to pray, pray in the Spirit, but with the understanding also. And this is a very important thing we looked at, that prayer is not disengaging the mind. Far from it. It's a process by which the Holy Spirit and the mind work together. Okay? Most people in our world have the notion, and it doesn't matter too much whether they are evangelical fundamentalists or whether they are liberals or New Age or whatever. Most people in our world today, at least in the West, have the notion that when you talk about spiritual, you have just moved completely outside the realm of understanding and thinking and that sort of thing. They see the two as antithetical. That is, they are in two totally different dimensions of the universe. This is basic to the worldview of our society. Okay? We eat, sleep, and breathe that without even knowing. It saturates all the television, all the reading, all the news, all the blah, blah, blah. It's everywhere. It's just, I mean, we're just swimming in this concept, okay? And when you're swimming in something, guess what? You get used to it. You get wet. You're going to pick up some of it, okay? And we have constantly watched that we are absorbing some of the notions that are contrary to the Word of God, they're part of the society in which we live. Okay. What we have in the Scripture is the two are not antithetical. They're not the same, but the idea is to get the two together. Okay. So, but the point of all this is as we look at all four of these, they all have something right at their center. What is it? God's will. Exactly. And so, there we go. Okay. So all these things relate to the will of God. They relate to our understanding of the will of God. They relate to what is the will of God. And everything really revolves around that. We saw that pictured for us really in the model of prayer. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's what it's all about. Okay? So everything revolves around that because the will of God is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to honor the Son. The will of God is communicated to us by the Spirit. God's purpose is we should be understanding what the will of the Lord is, okay? And we can have faith when we know what? The will of God. We can be confident that this is the will of God, okay? Now, a lot of people have the idea, of course, that, you know, you can improve on the will of God. Okay? As a matter of fact, some people seem to think it's about the worst thing that could possibly happen. I don't know how many people I talk to about going to the mission field or whatever, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, I think maybe God wants me to be a missionary, or I'm really afraid to surrender to God because I'm afraid he'll send me to Africa. You know? Or something terrible. You know? Yeah, ever have that thought cross your mind? You know, if it's the will of God, it's got to be, you know? But what does the Bible say about the will of God? In Romans chapter 12, good, acceptable, and what was that last word? Perfect. Huh. How would you improve on that? You can't improve on that. So anything short of the will of God is less than perfect. It's second best or worse. Okay. So Why would you want anything else? That's the question.